broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 6th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We don't believe in revolution. We believe restoration with the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders. Brilliant, and the solution. We don't need a revolution. We do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The principles that made America great once can absolutely do it again. Are you going to help us is the real question. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We talked about this, quote, drunker than 10,000 Indians. Yeah, U.S. Air Force general used that term in court. Oh, they had to let him go. You're not allowed to say drunker than 10,000 Indians. No, sir. U.S. bracing for a summer of race riots. An American citizen, ladies and gentlemen, is killed by the cops every 8 hours, 365 days a year. Baltimore riots point to failure of gun control laws. I'm going to say that again, then introduce our guest. Baltimore riots point to failure of gun control laws. Larry Pratt, gun owners, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good to be with you, Sam. And, of course, you were pointing to something that I don't think our friends on the left side would like to talk about, because Baltimore is one of the most stringent places for gun control in the country, and yet, obviously, it didn't keep them from having a horrendous experience with people running with their emotions unchecked, the police being told to stand down. So if the police aren't there to maintain order, which is kind of an important and essential function of the police.
And we're going to get into that in a second, because the fact that they were not there to do their jobs is of great concern with the comments of the mayor. We'll get to that in a second. Continue, sir.
Absolutely. So this should be a wake-up call, if one were still needed, for Americans to arm themselves and be vigilant, and frankly, to know who your neighbors are. And if, God forbid, something like Baltimore were to loom as a possibility where you live, that you and your neighbors would be able to hopefully head it off before it gets as bad as Baltimore got. Because one thing I'm pretty sure of, if the bad boys see that this is not going to be taking candy from a baby, that you break a window, you get shot. Oops.
Okay, and let me stop you there and say, I know at first glance, ladies and gentlemen, that sounds way, way, way too aggressive. However, here's the point. It's like a little kid. You know, the kid starts to talk back to mom. Dad, pardon the pun, kicks his bum and says, you're not going to treat your mom that way, young man. That ain't happening. You know, you can say you're a little bit harsh, but you know what? You do that two or three times, and pretty soon, Johnny doesn't talk back to mom, because Johnny knows, you know what? Dad's not going to be happy. Pretty soon, Johnny's respectful to his mom, understands there are boundaries, and respects that. The same thing applies here. We don't want to shoot anybody. However, if you're going to take advantage of an absolute already, in my opinion, perilous situation, out-of-control situation, and when they crack down, you're not going to obey the rule of law, then there needs to be a clear message sent, and it needs to be sent now to set the boundaries. Pretty soon, you don't have to behave that harshly because you've trained from the get-go. Isn't that really the key here, Larry Pratt?
It's absolutely essential, Sam. One of the things that wrenched my guts was to read Sheriff Mike Lewis's account. Sheriff Lewis comes from Wicomico County, Maryland, outside the troubled area, and he was on his way with some deputies to Baltimore to kind of help man up the defenses in the city. And he heard on his radio the orders being given to other cops, stand down. This mayor in Baltimore, she was educated in Oberlin, don't you know, applied all of the politically correct ideas to how to deal with the criminal element, and she lost miserably. Absolutely an abject failure. And it was her idea that there be no resistance. And so for a...
Hold on. We think that was her idea. We don't know, though, if Eric Holder or the next attorney general or Barack Obama or somebody from above is calling the shots either, though. And the only reason I say that is the same orders, for the most part, were given in Ferguson. And we know that they brought in troops. They brought in different groups and different... At some point, you kind of wonder, is she really acting alone?
Well, that's a reasonable supposition, and we just don't know. I'm willing to go with the notion that since she's a hardcore liberal, and this is the way liberals think, they tend to react the same. So be that as it may, whoever gave the order, be it the mayor, be it somebody other than the mayor.
And I'm not saying that I know. I am saying, though, we cannot overlook that, and it must be investigated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need to find out who somebody needs to own that decision, because that decision was absolutely the worst signal that could have been sent. It's quite possible that had the first time one of the demonstrators looked cross-eyed, they got arrested, and then if they had broken a window, shot, then it seems to me we wouldn't even still know where Baltimore is.
Now, I've got another point to make about this that I think is vital, because when Ferguson happened, the Oath Keepers went and they defended some businesses. They also had very seasoned military slash retired police officers slash the list goes on, emergency medical personnel, etc., in their organization, who drafted a blueprint, a document of stability for the area there. And it basically consisted of plain dressed professionals milling about the city with radios, not armed, not confrontational, but reporting troubled spots to the police for deployment so that the police didn't have to just roam around and miss the crimes, miss the belligerents, miss the hostility, miss the rioting. And they could basically direct traffic, so to speak, bring the police in for accountability, make sure the police knew what was around them, etc., with reports. They created this whole blueprint document. They tried to send it to the governor in Missouri. They tried to get it on the ground. It was flat out ignored and dismissed. But those are the answers. To do what you're saying, to be hardcore at the start and say, look, you're not, I'm telling you right now, if you riot, if you loot, if you plunder, if you violate private property rights, you'll be shot on the spot. And then to have these peaceful support staff playing a role to make sure that the cops know what's around them, who's where, what's happening, and then to help deliver targeted responses. That would be the answer, but that was completely ignored, Larry.
Yeah, it's another view of human nature, and we don't share with those on the left. They assume that man is basically good. They don't believe in original sin. They think that they can sing Kumbaya and our problems will all go away in that mindless repetition of Kumbaya. It doesn't work that way. And the Oath Keepers had it right. You got to have a plan. Sheriff Lewis had a plan. Nobody was willing to use any plan in Baltimore. They just let things happen.
Unless you believe the plan was to intentionally stand down, intentionally make a statement that says we're going to give the rioters room to destroy, which was the claim made, and the plan was to escalate.
Well, that's
because even if that wasn't the plan, that turned out to be the plan by ignorant default at the least.
Sheriff Lewis definitely was told to stand down. He heard others being told to stand down. That was very evidently the policy from on high. How much on high, we're still trying to find out. But nevertheless, there was a conscious decision by liberal politicians and leaders that, oh, the best defense is no defense.
Now, I don't think the sheriff has an obligation to obey the mayor, though.
No. The sheriff's the chief law enforcement officer of his county, but Sheriff Lewis, unhappily, was outside his county. So at that point, yes, you're right. He has to obey the sheriff of that county, perhaps the police chief, if the sheriff doesn't have police powers in that county. And
I bring that up because that's the strings we need to pull, right? To find out.
Oh, yeah. We need to find out what... Clearly, this was a political decision made by a politician. This was not something that was made by people in law enforcement, evidently, from what we've heard from the astonishment that's been noted that was expressed by law enforcement at the scene.
We're going to talk more about this with our guest, Larry Pratt, gunowners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. What happens after this? Now they're predicting race riots all over the nation for the summer. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
96% of Americans believe we're going to have nothing but riots this summer. They call it racial riots. However, I don't think it's racial at all like they want you to believe, but they certainly have this narrative to promote the divide in America. They're a bunch of racists, and they're evil for doing it. The fact is, several of the police officers in this case in Baltimore were black. What, they got a black mayor? You don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to race this time, but they're talking about race riots all over the nation now as if we can't do anything about it, Larry Pratt. I find that narrative by the media unconscionable. It's absolutely wrong. And they're promoting this narrative, and that's why I say at some point this cannot be accidental. This has got to be orchestrated. Why would you ever say that?
Well, if that were your belief, that the country is so terrible, and the only reason that America has prospered is because it's stolen its prosperity off the backs of people not only in this country but in the rest of the world, then you would have a real chip on your shoulder, and you would assume that bad things are going to happen because it's a terrible place to start with.
And I'm saying it's the best country on the face of the earth because we've followed godly principles, because we've had respect for life, liberty, and property, because we've promoted God, family, and country, because we have the right, the God-given, unalienable right to defend ourselves and protect our private property, and God's above government, and we the people are above government, and government's merely an agent carried out by the consent of the governed. And that genius has made America the best country, providing more freedom to more people in the history of the world than anywhere else ever, sir.
That's not good enough for our liberal friends, of course, and they want to make it a whole lot better because it's just not acceptable to them. What they really don't like is freedom. They can't imagine how millions of Americans can make decisions on their own in their best interest that leads to prosperity, not only for individual Americans, but because the permissible ways of making those individual decisions is through being productive. People actually benefit from individual liberty. All people in America benefit from that. And if all people don't, it's either because they're too lazy to get off their backside, or in some other way the government has jumped in and gotten in the way of making things happen the way they should. So our assignment, if we choose to take it, is to put government back in the box in which it belongs so they could only do those things, as you were indicating, that you and I tell it to as the employee that we have retained for accomplishing certain limited objectives.
All right. Do you think we're going to have race riots all over the nation? Is that kind of in the plan? I hear that there's communist agitators. I hear that there's funding from George Soros. I hear all kinds of details about the agenda here. You know that Eric Holder, you know that Barack Obama seem to have a chip on their shoulder and want to promote this racial divide. David A. Clark Jr., Milwaukee, Wisconsin, black sheriff, friend of ours, pointed it out and said, hey, they're race baiting here. They're really causing race riots by their inaction, by their attacking the cops, etc., making an unfair victim out of black people everywhere when most of it's black-on-black crime. When the cops once in a while are out of line, we agree, but for the most part are doing the best they can. When we really dig into it, we find out things after really true investigations and accountability, we find out things aren't as we sometimes knee-jerk reaction to believe. And so we got this battle going on, but they're creating this problem, right?
They're doing their best, for sure, to create the problem, and there are others that are not necessarily as public, but I read one account, and I don't have any way to prove it, but it makes some sense to me, that there was an analysis done of the kind of language on social media in reference to what happened in Ferguson on the way up, on the run-up to Ferguson, and the same in Baltimore, and the same kind of metaphors and figures of speech and so forth were being used, indicating that whoever else was trying to make trouble, there were some of the same people that were stirring the pot as well.
And we know that for a fact because I've got an inside citizen reporter who visited Ferguson, who visited Baltimore, and he basically says that he actually is in touch with a couple of the agitators. They think he's their friend. And so they are emailing him and texting him and telling him, we did this, now we're moving to do this. Hey, people are coming in to do that. We have evidence of that, sir.
How totally unsurprising. Because the people, imagine, why would you have, if you live in an area, no matter how economically deprived the area may be, what is the sense of you burning down your own little business, of burning down your own little home or apartment? It doesn't make any sense to me. it tells me that the trouble comes from folks that came in from the outside and decided that this is where they're going to literally toss the match, and that makes sense to me, not the idea that somebody is so desperate because of his situation that he says, oh, the heck with it. I'm just going to burn everything down.
Yeah, even a dog knows enough if given the chance to go somewhere else to go to the restroom, sir. Just saying.
You betcha. And we're dealing with something that is pretty close to pure evil, because somebody that would burn things down like this, it takes a little work. You don't just throw a match and have buildings burn. So somebody has to be very premeditated about it. And obviously they don't care if somebody's still inside. They don't care if there are invalids that can't be evacuated.
But if this is happening and the mayor then says, we give you room to destroy, stand down, at what point is the mayor culpable?
And by the way, I'm still trying to find out, but I think I have not seen any indication that the mayor included her neighborhood in the go ahead and burn area.
Wow. All right, do you think we're going to have riots this summer, sir? I think unless we find out what the real genesis behind this is and who's orchestrating it and put a stop to it, I think it's without a doubt that's going to happen.
Well, that plus the fact that we need to deal more firmly with those that would try to create this sort of disorder, so that at the first instance of collective criminal activity, boom, in comes the paddy wagon, off they go, and if they start violating persons or destroying property, bang, then you don't even need a paddy wagon.
That's what needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The other thing that I find interesting is when we saw Ferguson, the only people that were under the attack as criminals was the people who were trying to protect businesses as volunteer neighbors like the Oath Keepers. They were the only one that were basically attacked, really, right?
And, you know, one of my favorite instances of what you're talking about in Ferguson was it involved a white gas station owner who was in that violent area of Ferguson, and his station never got torched. And, of course, that would have made a beautiful fire had it been torched. But the reason nothing happened to that station is that a number of young black men, it looked like they were probably in their early 30s, decided that nothing was going to happen to that station. And they formed a militia to protect the station and the owner who had given them jobs not that many years before as they were growing up.
And they were friends, ladies and gentlemen, blowing up this false racial narrative they're trying to play out, ladies and gentlemen. Our citizen reporter also had an example that made a difference. He asked a white guy for some gas. The white guy didn't have time for him. My buddy's white, but he asked a black guy, and he got gas, tried to pay him, and the white black guy said, nah, have it for free, bro.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, just to finish up quickly on this scenario with rioting in the streets, I expect more of it because I believe there are agitators that are organized. Who's involved in that agitation is hard to tell. We really need some sheriffs to really dig in and find out what's happening and expose it. We got to make an end run around the mainstream press to tell the truth, I'm sure. However, Larry Pratt, to me, there's solutions for this, and you mentioned one of them. Hey, we're absolutely going to not declare martial law, because that's over the top. But if we allow this to continue, that's what may eventually need to happen. So to prevent that from happening and to provide the maximum amount of freedom for the most amount of freedom-loving Americans, we're going to crack down hard on the criminal element. We're going to bring in the paddy wagon. We find you at multiple locations, and we're going to try you hardcore for your crimes. We're not going to let you people agitate and destroy. We're not going to give you space to destroy, period. You're going to flat out obey the law or you're going to be absolutely accountable. And you may be dead. I'd be very careful not to break the law. Yeah. And then furthermore, though, what we really need, in my opinion, Larry Pratt, and I want you to comment on this, we really need sheriffs to stand up and we need the American citizens to become the sheriff's posses. If you want to call it the militia, by all means, I don't care the terms. The point is it would be organized with appropriate government leadership, but yet the citizens, along with law enforcement, would police their communities based on this plan I mentioned from the Oath Keepers. That is the answer, all over the country.
It is absolutely the answer, and I think one of the keys, and you mentioned it, is people in their own community. It means the most to them because they're defending hearth and home. They also happen to know more about that community than would somebody from outside. They're the natural first responders because they're first. They're there first. You know, sometimes we refer to police or even firemen as first responders. Well, you know, they try, but frankly, the victim that's there at the scene of the crime or whatever event, that's the first responder. May mean that he needs help, but the first response has to come from us when it's happening to us. And in a related fashion, I posted something on Facebook yesterday which got a number of nice comments. I said, hey, Muslim terrorists, Garland, Texas is not Paris, France. Thanks for giving moving target practice to those Texans. Surprise, dirtbags, Texans carry guns.
That brings up this Jade Helm 15 thing, where in Texas they're saying, hey, we want the National Guard to kind of monitor this thing, make sure the feds don't get out of control. In Utah, which is declared hostile territory in this, quote, fictitious reality troop exercise training scenario, our governor says it's all fine. Don't worry. It's necessary. These people are off their rockers.
Well, I think the response of the governor of Texas is more appropriate. He didn't use the words, but from what I can read of what he said, what he's doing, it's the old Reagan formula of trust but verify. And so they're not doing anything in Texas to impede what the federales are doing, but they've got the National Guard mobilized as eyes and ears, and the governor has told the commander of the National Guard in Texas, I want reports on what's going on. Wow.
All right. Now, here's one of the reasons that I'm convinced this is orchestrated and intentionally created. You know, it wasn't many years ago, Larry Pratt, that you could sit in your house and, I mean, you heard of a shooting, I don't know, once every 5 years, 10 years, if you're paying attention, maybe once a year in the news, but now you hear about them every single day. And it virtually changed overnight. And there are some government school and theater examples that kind of kicked it off, if you will. But there's also this Miriam Carey mystery. Kurt, you want to brief us on it and then have Larry Pratt respond?
You know, Larry, I'm sure you're aware there was a young woman who, well, I guess she basically took some wrong turns. You know, her name is Miriam Carey. She and her 13-month-old daughter, I guess they... In 2013, this was October of 2013, she's driving her, I think it was a black Infiniti, if I remember right, and she turned in the wrong area, apparently, and upset some of the Capitol Police, and, well, somehow, just a few minutes or seconds later, she was dead at the wheel. Now, I don't know how much you know about this whole story, but you know, at least the thing when I studied up on it, sure was surprising. As far as I could tell, the lady was not at all any kind of a threat, and the Capitol Police shooting at her, she's trying to drive away, you know it seemed like they could have handled this a lot better.
Well, and to me, the mistakes are one thing, but then if you have to some degree accountability and transparency, then you can regain trust and say, we made a mistake, guys, we're so sorry. We believe there was terrorist threats at the same time, whatever justification for their belligerent actions. Fine, you could restore trust, but what they do is they just cover it up, and now the mistrust is even heightened further. The mainstream press trying to bury it, Larry.
I have seen nothing more about that situation, and it was really kind of heartbreaking when the news broke, because from all accounts, even at the first blush, this was a woman that had inadvertently gotten into the wrong area, quote-unquote secured area around government buildings, and hadn't responded appropriately, if she'd even heard what she was being commanded, and ended up in her being killed. Something makes you think that maybe these folks are a little trigger happy. How would that look like a threat? One person, because the kid wouldn't have been visible, one car, nothing coordinated, nothing going boom. Clearly, somebody made a wrong turn and was confused. So isn't there a way you deal with that?
You know, one of the over 400 comments to the WorldNet Daily Story says, where's all the outrage over all Black Lives Matter? After this mother with her child was murdered by the federal police, why is there no rioting, looting, destruction of property? If all Black Lives Matter, can a black person answer that? Why isn't that worthless, ugly race baiter, not so Sharpton, doing an investigation on this murder? Oh, wait, her life is meaningless since...
This is the first I even knew that she was black. I never saw any mention of her race, so I assumed she was white.
Great point.
Great Interesting.
Point. And this is the big concern, is that when this stuff gets buried, at some point you got to start to say, man, this has got to be some kind of a planned, intentional escalation. You got the theater issues, you got the government school issues, and every time it happens in, quote, gun-free zones, sir.
Well, yeah, when anything happens in Washington, it's what is essentially a gun-free zone, because any gun that you might be able to own in Washington, D.C., cannot be taken outside your home, period, unless you're going to a range, and then you have to get things worked out ahead of time. It's a big deal to just own a gun in the District of Columbia. You all, I'm sure, remember the series of stories that was written by a then Washington Times reporter, and I think her name is Annie. Annie gets her gun. And it was a multi-week series of columns by this editorial page editor of, well, this week I went to this office and was told that I could only be here between certain hours on a certain day of the week, so I had to come back, and it's a good thing this was my job as a writer for a newspaper, because if it had been somebody else who had trouble getting off from work, I probably wouldn't have even been able to come back. And on and on and on it went like that. It took her about 6 months, and she finally got the gun. It was delivered to the one guy with a federal firearms license in the District of Columbia. He's the guy that procures guns for the police department, and he has an office in the police department building, the main building, I guess, downtown, and that's where she had to go to pick her gun up.
What do you think, Kurt?
You know, and I guess even, you know, in the Capitol situation there, the lady, was, after she was killed, Congress was pretty excited about it, made a, you know, big deal about the heroes that protected the president. And the one commenter says, yeah, they murdered a defenseless dental hygienist 2 miles away from the White House with a baby in the back seat.
Well, there's so many questions. There's so much we don't know about the case, but we want to know why, what went wrong. And to me, the cover-up is bigger than the crime. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live. Larry Pratt, gunowners.org, on your radio. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to know why. We want to know what happened in the Miriam Carey mystery. So many questions, so much we still don't know about the case of the woman that was shot to death by the Secret Service and the U.S. Capitol Police. Yeah. It was on October 3rd, 2013, when she was shot after a car chase. Her 13-month-old daughter survived in her car seat. What happened? And this scenario played out, and then there was a big old cover-up. Kurt, more details are out on this case, huh? People are digging.
Well, that's right. And, the thing that I want to ask is a simple question. What if Sheriff David A. Clark or Sheriff Mack, sheriff like that, had been confronted by this situation? What do you think would have been their response, Larry and Sam?
Larry?
Well, I think there would have been an effort to use force to match the situation, some way of stopping the car. Don't they have some sort of tax or not tax, but spikes they can throw down on the road? Is that the only?
But I got another question though. Why do we even need to stop the car? The lady pulled in. Obviously, she was confused and freaked out and panicked because she was in the wrong spot. She turned around and tried to leave. Why not just let her leave and monitor the situation?
That's another good question. On the way in, I can see some sort of defensive barrier being set up.
Agreed. Sure.
On the way out, she's going the right way. What's the problem?
Well, and I think if they watched her, they could tell that she was like panicked and freaked out, and the fact that she was trying to leave doesn't suggest attack.
Right. And at some point, somebody could well have been, I would think, close enough to see a car seat in the car, which might suggest, oh, young woman, car seat, and, you know, take the license number down, and if there's something that really, really needs to be done, follow up that way when there's no threat to her or other people in trying to say, hey, you know, that was pretty stupid what she did back there. But guns?
Death?
Yeah.
And my question, too, is this. You know, if this poor lady did have ill intent. Oftentimes, what I find the problem is, why do we have these cops engage in these high-speed chases? They put the citizenry at big-time risk. You would think with plenty of radios and personnel, you could radio ahead and let her get trapped somewhere, let her get stopped some other way. Why do we got to engage in these high-speed kind of chases in the first place?
You know, there's a lot of, from what I can tell, there's a lot of second thinking going on, raising the very kind of questions you have, that these things are so inherently dangerous. It puts the cop's life in danger. It puts the suspect's life in danger. And it certainly puts a whole bunch of people along the speed route in danger. It's just something that is it's a tragedy waiting to happen. One tragedy has already happened. That was because of guns. But what's going to happen when one of the cars being pursued ends up barreling off the road and goes through a crowd of children waiting for a bus or something like that? Is that really proportionate to whatever it was that led to the chase? I mean, we're not talking about chasing a virulent serial killer.
That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason that we bring all this up is, one, we believe that there needs to be people digging in an investigation into the Miriam Carey case. But I submit to you, Larry Pratt, that we had a peaceful America. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, there was like a turn on the spigot of shootings everywhere, of crime everywhere, of escalation of this animosity between the people and the cops. And it didn't just turn on overnight, sir. There's a planned escalation. There's no way that could all of a sudden just change on a dime. And you take two or three of these high-profile cases, and boom, now they're happening every day. How'd that happen?
Well, in general, there seems to be a militarization of police work in the country. And that, I think, is at root what we're complaining about right now and what we're concerned about. And one of the solutions, and you mentioned it some time ago in our conversation, is that the people themselves need to be incorporated as a posse or as a militia, as a reserve deputies, but they need to be available to ideally the elected law enforcement.
On the simplest scale, even a neighborhood watch.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's an unarmed neighborhood watch, it's the vigilance of the people that live there, an awareness that maybe some of us don't have because we get preoccupied about the things that we're doing, and we drive by, walk by, and we're off in our own world. Well, the neighborhood watch has the advantage of saying, okay, for the next 2 hours, I'm all ears. I'm all eyes.
We must build relationships of trust and cooperation between the people and the police. If we don't get that done, sir, all bets are off in terms of stability of America.
Well, I think that is a given, and truly one of the ways to make this happen is to have the elected cop, the sheriff, be the focal point of these efforts. Now, in my urban county outside of Washington, D.C., there's been a contract signed by the sheriff's department and the county, and the policing functions, the law enforcement functions, have been turned over to the county police.
In my opinion, sir, you need to flee ASAP.
All the sheriff's department does now is guard the jail, bring people into court, maintain security in the courtroom.
Send out summons, that kind of stuff.
And summons. That's
play constable, yeah.
The three major activities of the sheriff's department, completely neutered. And that's not unusual in many areas of the country. That's the same kind of thing that's been done. And I think we need to get away from that. We need to recognize that law enforcement is important, but one of the major ways we keep it accountable is by electing it. And that's no guarantee. It just means that there's an extra measure of accountability built in through those elections.
And that's why the support group on the neighborhood watch level all the way up to a posse led by the sheriff all the way up to a militia of the people, that's why that's so important of an organization on the ground. No matter who gets out of control, it becomes the organization of safety and stability for the American people.
You know, Sam and Larry, it looks like there's some other parts to it, and we've seen this a number of times when we have these out-of-control shootings at, like, theaters or wherever they are. So many times when we look down deep, we find out, hey, they're on some kind of psychotropic or pharmaceuticals have as side effects making people go crazy. In this case, it looks like way down deep in here that she was on some kind of medications, for some kind of depression, etc. That may be one of the untold parts to the story.
You know, I've interviewed Linda Lagerman on my weekly show, and she's a psychologist, and she's pointed to the dangers, the physical dangers of using these drugs to control personality, because they actually can change the brain and result in permanent changes in people. They may be effective for controlling many people, but there's always a certain smaller number where side effects can be really bad, including people acting out a murderous impulse. And that's why therapy is clearly to be preferred over, well, let's just do this the easy way, go get this prescription.
Well, and every time you have a psychologist, a psychiatrist, every time you have a gun-free zone, and every time you have somebody on drugs, every time.
The gun-free zone is one of the common denominators, for sure. All but one of our mass murders in our country has occurred in a gun-free zone. And I'm counting as one of the gun-free zones was actually a political meeting of Democrats, where typically Democrats don't carry guns. But if you pull that one out of the data I'm offering, all but two of our mass murders were in zones that legally required no guns. So it seems to me we've got a pattern here. Maybe, just maybe, I'm just saying, we ought to get rid of those stupid gun-free zones.
All right, there you have it. Gun Owners of America, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a lifetime member. Highly recommend you become one. Larry Pratt, we're flat out of time. And Larry, we appreciate all of your work. You need to get more media ops to tell this story in light of what's happening all across the country. And what if people were armed in Maryland and they were peaceful and ready to defend their families? We wouldn't have the problems we're having at all. In fact, the riots would stop, sir.
That is absolutely what should happen, and that's our job, is to articulate.
All right, here's the headline. Save a citizen, get a gun.
Absolutely.
All right, Godspeed, my brother.
You too. Take care.
Larry Pratt doing a great job. Get a gun, save a citizen. What do you think, Kurt? Save a citizen, get a gun?
All right. Well, you know, it's the bottom line. Guns save people.
All right. We the people can restore America, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.